Marv, it's great to talk to you again. How you feeling in a sad day? How
it
things
is,
going? Okay.
Chris, those are very memorable, I must say. But you know, Willis has been sick for quite some time, and you know, it's been very sad. He was the captain, the heart and soul of a tremendous team that changed things in the NBA for, you know, probably a decade when they were so good. And that was such a personable group of guys, you know, led by Willis and Clyde and to Buescher, Barnett, Monroe later on. It really, of course, Bill Bradley. Those were great days, to be watching Knick basketball at the Garden.
When he first came to the Knicks, I know he was sort of an undersized center, Marv. You probably remember it pretty well out of Grambling. Give me some thoughts early in his career at the old Madison Square Garden with the lefty jump shot. Let me hear. Go ahead.
Well, the number one draft pick for the Knicks going into that season was bad. Going into Willis's rookie season was Bad News Barnes, and Willis was second-round pick and was very upset. And that kind of spurred him on, really inspired him. He was fierce, physical on the court. He played much bigger than his size. As you mentioned his size, he was one of the smaller centers, and it was a center game at that time. You know, the pivot meant something. And then, of course, Wilt was still playing. So he still had a way of, you know, taking over games. He went up against Kareem successfully on many an occasion, Bob Lanier, guys like that. But he was so well respected around the league. I can recall at an early game, was opening night at the Garden against the L.A. Lakers, and a fight broke out, and the Lakers and the Knicks are going at each other. Willis slowly walks over. Someone holds him, as someone once did in high school. And he took a shot to the face in his days in high school. So someone held him in that particular fight, and he went wild. And I recall he broke the jaw of John Block, who was a player for the Lakers, stayed in the league for a long time. And nobody would mess with Willis after that. And this is a very personable, you know, terrific guy, but yeah, he wasn't looking for the fight, but that's something that kind of set the tone of who he was. And
the trade of Bellamy, they played the same position. That seemed to make him blossom.
Right.
Marv, how about that in the mid-60s? Go ahead.
Well,
let me hear.
Yeah, that was key, Chris. At the time, that may have been one of the great trades of the history of the NBA. It was Howard Colmives and Walt Bellamy to Detroit for Dave DeBuescher. That was the missing piece. And I remember I did the game on, it was mostly radio at that time. The day after the trade was DeBuescher's first game as a Knick. In fact, it was in Detroit. And you could see the difference right away. I mean, it was such a well-coached team. Red Holzman was all about defense and see the ball. He'd say that constantly to the point where the players would make fun of him and say it to him. And it was just a very smart team. Bradley, DeBuescher, the whole group, they really played so well together. They didn't use the bench much except the Holzman philosophy of giving a foul, and Mike Reardon was the give a foul specialist because the rules were different at the time. But they'd go seven deep, maybe eight sometimes. And it certainly helped them when they, you know, when Willis got hurt in the championship series against the Lakers in 70, where they played 3-4 guys at center who were undersized going against Chamberlain, guys like Stallworth and DeBuescher and Bill Hoskett, who was a young player out of Ohio State. So they were just a pleasure to watch, and what that did for the NBA, because when there's a team in New York that does well, it gets more publicity, and all of a sudden they were getting national publicity because of the style they played. It was, you know, and celebrities coming to the game all the time, which didn't happen in the past. So they were a major factor in the success of the league at that time.
Wow, fascinating. And they were very good the year before they won it. They lost to Russell's Celtics in six in Bill's last championship run. That Knick team could have won it too, right, Marv?
Right. They definitely could have. In fact, it was a surprise in 73 because the Celtics were still good that the Knicks knocked them off in the semifinal. And Dean Memminger had a sensational game, I recall. Boston was not a wonderful place to play. You know, Red Auerbach had all kinds of tricks. You know, he had cold water in the shower. The visiting dressing room was very, very small. It was uncomfortable. He always felt he could do little things to get away with just to bother the visiting team.
And the year before, they did lose in his six games. He won the MVP. Now, I know Jerry West thinks he probably should have won because Wilt got hurt that year when I think West averaged 31 a game. Was that a legit, in your eyes, did he deserve the MVP in 69-70, Marv? How about that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. He did. West, you know, West was tremendous. And, I mean, unfortunately for Jerry, and he was such a great player, he had only that one championship. But Willis in 69-70 was, definitely deserving. I don't know if he should have won he was picked the most valuable player of the playoffs,
Finals.
Too.
Right.
I think it should have been Clyde. In fact, Clyde had one of the great point guard playoff games in the history of the league. In Game 7, 1970, 36 points, 19 assists, 7 rebounds. Which is extraordinary. That's the game that they won in a rout. So maybe Willis got a break with that. But Clyde, had the full series and was really terrific. But no, I thought Willis was MVP that year.
Did you know? Did you think Willis would play in Game 7?
I did not. No. When he went down, he hurt his thigh, sat out Game 6. That was back in L.A. And I was doing also the pregame show before the radio broadcast of the game, and we did it in the trainer's room, and I saw Willis get a shot. I asked him, do you think you'll be able to play? And he said yes, and I didn't necessarily believe him because usually when players say, yeah, I'm going to play, you know, they're just saying what, you know, is automatic to say. You're not going to say, no, I can't play. It was a situation at the Garden where people really thought he wasn't going to play. He did not come out during the warm-ups. The Lakers and the Knicks were just about set to finish, and all of a sudden there's a roar down below me, and Willis is hobbling onto the court. And, people are mystified and going crazy at the same time. And I happen to say, here comes Willis. And there he was, took a couple of warm-up shots, hit them both. The crowd is now cheering his warm-up shots. And he plays, he starts. Actually, when he came out, the Laker players stopped. I still remember the look on both Chamberlain and West's faces. I mean, they couldn't believe that he was going to play. So during the game, he hits a side jump shot, like a 15-footer from the right side, I remember. Then he hits another one from closer to the top of the circle. And, of course, the crowd is just berserk. Played maybe 18, 20 minutes, and the Knicks surged. You know, they went on this amazing run. They were leading at halftime by a huge number, and then and that was it. Willis didn't play that much, but there was, it was like a game that, people won't forget. And it's, legendary in the NBA. So they went on and won the championship.
66-39 at the half. Knicks are up by 27. The second championship, Marv, he was hurt a lot. That was more of a Jerry Lucas team. Tell me about that second Knick title. You mentioned Memminger, 72-73. How about that one?
Yeah, Lucas was key. They made the deal. Because obviously due to the fact that Willis was injured and they didn't know what his situation would be, and they traded Cassie Russell in exchange for Lucas, who was a long-range bomber. If Lucas had played today, he'd be among the three-point leaders. I mean, he was hitting three-point shots. DeBuscher, too, would have been a tremendous three-point shooter. But Lucas was also a very good passer, from the high post. He would always set up teammates who were constantly cutting, like guys like Bradley or Clyde. And Earl Monroe was with that team and fit in perfectly. There were questions as to whether he would fit in because he had Frazier and Monroe, which is a Hall of Fame to be backcourt. But at first they deferred to each other. They were not used to taking their usual shots, and then it worked out great. They really worked together extremely well. But yeah, Lucas was a key to that. Even in 73, Willis was still kind of having his difficulties injury wise. So Lucas and a fellow by the name of John Ginelli from the University of Pacific also played very well.
Neville Willis was hurt a lot. Now, he came back to coach the Knicks. You know how that works. It never works. You're a great player, and you come back to coach the team. Tell us about that. Tell us about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was, it was too bad. It doesn't necessarily work where a star player. It has worked from time to time, but it's usually very tough. And that didn't work out. And then he ended up with the Nets for a while as general manager and coach. So those were not good years for the Knicks when Willis took over.
Did they boo him, Marv? I mean, when he came back to coach, did he get booed?
If anything, they booed the team. I don't think they were booing directly at Willis, but, people, they're paying money for the tickets and they have short memories. And, that happens. They were unhappy. So there was some booing, who it's directed to. I didn't feel it was directed at him because, you have to have the players also. And the team had kind of dissipated in terms of, the talent they had. It wasn't the same situation. When Willis.
And a great guy. This is, I knew him a little bit. This is a great guy. This is no ego. He always allowed you to ask him a tough question. Always called you by your first name if you did an interview with him. Hell of a... Marv, tell him what a nice guy Willis was. That's important.
Oh, he was a wonderful guy. I mean, he... in fact, that whole team was like that. And it was different, when you do interviews in the dressing room. These days, it's all by, since the pandemic, it's all podium. So it's very little personally. But in those days, and it was a lot of newspaper and radio people, some TV, in the 70s, early 70s, when they were championship caliber. But you could actually sit down and talk to them. It was different. And Willis, of course, was in demand, as was Clyde, as was Monroe when he came over. Bradley, they were all good. DeBuscher was tremendous. And Lucas loved to talk, so it was all, if you were a reporter, a radio guy, TV guy, this was the dream team, and as you say, Willis was just a wonderful guy. I remember
this
also right after they won the championship, May 8th, 1970, Red Holzman, Willis, and me signed up to do a tour of some toy stores around the city and Long Island and Westchester. So we went to pick up the car, picked me up, and then Red up. This is like 9 in the morning, the day after the championship. And there were these huge crowds everywhere. And, of course, Willis, they went crazy for him. He'd make a brief speech. Red didn't like to talk much, so he was also particularly brief. But, just seeing Willis there after what he did was unbelievable.
I didn't
hobble that much either.
I look at Willis, Marv Albert, on the great Willis Reed, who passed away today, won the two titles with the Knicks. I look at Willis a little bit like I look at Messier, that looked with that, when you think of Messier, he's revered, and Willis is revered too. Is that a fair comparison?
Yeah, that's a very good comparison. Yeah. Messier, from what I saw, that was obviously toward the end of his career. It didn't even matter what he did, although he did obviously contribute, on the ice. But he had that just that special quality of the respect, you know. And Willis had it, you know, after he took over as the starter and it was established as to what a good player he was and who he was. You know, you'd see it on planes. You'd see it, you know, waiting in the airports. I mean, just the way he was. He was just such a special guy.
Sad day. And a great Nick. Only Clyde
no
now. Well, Clyde and Bradley. Clyde's going to take this hard. You know that, Marv? Clyde's going to take this hard. Tomorrow night in Miami?
Yes, he will. Yeah. I mean, Clyde was a guy who you'd go to for a soundbite after the game, talk to, and was very cool. There's no question. So it did not express emotions, but yes, I think he will. There's no question. He loved Willis, and Willis loved him too.
Yeah, great. Well, great to hear that voice of yours, Marvin. I needed that story today. We'll keep in touch. Thanks for coming on. Good to see you, healthy.
All right, Chris. Anytime. Thank you.
You got it, Marv Albert on the great Willis Reed.